Thank you, my brother Plica. And once again, I'd like you to take your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. This will be our departure and our key verse for a study this morning about Jesus. My central focus of attention in teaching the scripture today for you is no Christ, no Christmas. Here in the back of your mind, we say in computer, put that into your RAM so you can bring it in back and forth. No Christ, no Christmas. He came as a baby, but he was and is the Son of Man, the Son of God, excuse me. Put one hand in Luke and move your Bible to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, page 1222. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And there you have the seal of God, where God said that Jesus is the Son of God and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. You take Jesus away from the resurrection, you take Jesus away from being the Son of God. Very clever and very important. He came as a baby, but he was and he is the Son of God. He looks and acted like a normal child, but the Bible called him also the Son of Man. And in the King James is with capital S and capital M, indicating the perfect man. And the scripture that we read this morning in Luke chapter 19, and especially in verse 10, the scripture sums up the entire Christmas story in one sentence. If you take a look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. The reason why God wrapped himself in flesh and came into this earth was, look at the end of that scripture, to seek and to save that which was lost. The story of Christmas is not the story of a Christian holiday, like people say today. Have a happy holiday. Well, if you were in England, it was very interesting in the way you will understand it. Because in England, happy holiday means happy vacation, is that right? There is no word vacation in the English language, only in America. Take it from the Latin. But in England, when you go on vacation, you go on holiday. And they will say to you, have a happy holiday. And you go on vacation. Here in the stores, you go, well, have a happy holiday. I say, which one? Always say, which one? Now the holidays, which one? The 25th of December. What happened? I said. And they said, what's a holiday? And people don't know what happened in America. So I'm going to bring to your attention the story of Christmas so that you know that if there is no Christ, there is no Christmas, period. First, the story of Christmas starts with the word incarnation. If you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, which I call the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. We are in a... and a very interesting court case in our family in Argentina, as finally, after 50 years, 30 years of after my mother died and my grandparents and all of these, then they came to court for the inheritance to receive some money. And my niece saw that I am not the son of Emma Bordoli. And so she called me. Said, they put your name away. And the other cousins are going to split the money. they say they did it by mistake. But God made no mistake. My niece caught it. And so I called the lawyer. And the lawyer said, well, do you have a birth certificate that says that you are the son of Emma Bordalis. I happen to have one, and so I did a PDF on the computer and sent a certified and to them. And so that's the only credential that I'm the son of my mama. Otherwise, I was not born. All right. Now, here is the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. There is no Roman birth certificate. Josephus do not have it in his records of the Lord Jesus. The only historian from Rome at the time of Jesus. You had the book? It's a big, thick book. Beautiful. And he mentioned Jesus and mentioned some of his passing, but he did not mention his birth. So God mentioned for you. Here's the birth certificate. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Is that clear, the scripture? The birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. Very clear. When, as his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph, or engaged, I will say, in today's language, to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Before they marry, she got pregnant. One time, Joseph went to visit Mary and saw that she was pregnant. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was a very kind man. He loved Mary, and he don't want to make a ridicule of Mary. And so he was planning to smooth himself out of the picture. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, or as the Hebrew read, Joshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. And so that's the incarnation, we call it. What is the word incarnation? What is the meaning? The embodiment of a deity in an earthly form. That's what the American dictionary said. Incarnation is the embodiment of a deity in an earthly form. And we believe, we Christians believe what the scripture said, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and Jesus was born. If you move your Bible to John chapter 4 and verse 24, page 1152, the Bible tells us something that will help you to understand the incarnation. John Gospel chapter 4 and verse 24 tell us that God is a spirit, all right? And this spirit decided to come to earth as a man. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in a spirit and in truth. Human beings are a compound. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. The three words are three different words. They are not the same. And that's a compound mixture. But when you're talking about God, is unique, is pure. God is the Spirit. And so in the incarnation, God took the liberty to come down and unite it with a human being and bring Jesus into the picture. The best explanation of this is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, page 1293. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, writes to Timothy trying to explain the incarnation. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, page 1293, if you use the Bible that is in the pulpit, the Bible said this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Yes, I understand. It's very hard to believe. And it's almost impossible to believe. I will say it is impossible to believe with a natural mind. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, Theo, is the word in Greek. God was manifested in the flesh. God, that you don't see, was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seeing of angels. Preach unto the Gentiles, said the scripture. believe on the world, receive up into glory. The apostle explained to his disciple Timothy, this is what happened to the incarnation. God and God alone decided to become man. The apostle John tried to help us understand what God did in the manger. And remember in that chapter 1 of John, if you go to John chapter 1 and verse 14, will destroy all the theology of the Jehovah Witness about the idea that Jesus is not God. In John chapter 1 and in verse 14, the Bible really explained this in a marvelous way. The John 1:14 said, and the Word, capital W, Logos, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. Jesus Christ, the eternal God and creator of this world, becomes flesh for one reason and one reason only. To save our souls. To save our souls. He's going to give us in the resurrection a new body. So all our pains and all our things that embalm us in our body will be gone, said the scripture. He will give us a new body. But the reason why he came is to save our souls. God Almighty makes his divine nature with human nature to become the sacrifice for our sins. He paid the price for my soul. A perfect man. Remember the Old Testament? A lamb without blemish. Remember that? That means a perfect lamb need to be offered in the altar. And God offered himself so that we can be saved. My beloved friends, without Jesus Christ, there will be no Christmas. This time of the year will be just like any other time of the year. Just another month. This time of the year, there will be no special Sunday school programs or special cantatas in churches. There will be no lights in the houses to decorate. There will be no wrapped presents under the tree in our living rooms. I'm just tempted. I have to get courage to do this. But I'm just tempted. Not too long ago, my neighbor, as you face my house on the left, the writer of the Morning Hill Times, told me, "So you pastor, is still preaching Jesus in your church?" I say, "Yes." "Oh, you live in another century, sir," she said. It's a lady. And out of courtesy, is older than me, so I learned from childhood you respect an elder. So I don't know. I can react to it, but I don't say anything. Well, now, amazing. All his house are with lights. And so I don't put lights in my house. Nothing. But his house, lightings and little snow boys and everything. So I'm praying, Lord, before Christmas, I had to visit them. And I want to say, come in. I want to show you my decorations. And she will come in the night. And there is no light. And she will say, where they are, is in my heart. In my heart. God has turned on the light of a soccer player who cared less about God because he was making money. Long time ago, when I was 18 years old, he turned the lights on. All my family believed. The missionaries came in and told my grandma, is there anything I can do for you? Yeah, get that rascal over there who goes to play soccer. That is the only thing you have to get, that rascal. He likes girls and soccer. That's what my grandmother said. That's what my aunt said. So must be true. But you know something? God get me. God turned on the light because grandma had done a good job. From 4 years old to 12, she will read the Arab Bible and chanting, on the Lamorahal. She will go on and on with the guitar in the morning from 4 o'clock to six. That's when I get up early in the morning. See, without Christ, December 25th will be just like any other day. Nothing special. You will never notice anything. But because of Christ, those guys in the store, they can sell. I asked them, why are you selling so much? What is a holiday? Why is a holiday? Nobody knows. I'm going store by store, and nobody knows. But it is because of Christ, friends. December 25th is because of Christ. So the story of Christmas starts with the incarnation. It starts that God came down and zeroed in on a lady and became man. The Son of Man, the perfect man, so that he can offer the perfect sacrifice. Second, the story of Christmas points to a name. Look in your Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, in verse 12, page 1184. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, page 1184. The Bible said this tremendous statement concerning a name. The apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. Cannot be justification with God in any other name. For there is, look at what the scripture said, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the story of Christmas points to a name. There will have been no Acts 4:12 if God had not come in the flesh for our salvation. Peter will be crazy to write this. Without Christ, we just be born, live for a while, and then die. It will be over with no hope, no mansion in glory, no eternal place with God. If you go to Acts 11 and verse 26, that's where the word Christian come from. Some people say, I ask people, say, do you know where the word Christian come from? They don't know. We are Christian. Why? What I mean? They don't know. Here it comes. The word was born in Syria. Acts 11 in verse 26, and when he, that's Barnabas, had found him, that's Paul, he brought him unto Antioch. This is Antioch in Syria and not in Turkey. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called, what? Look at what the Bible said, Christians, first in Antioch. Christians, you know, in Syria, they spoke Arameo, and anybody who is from that area is Jebono Yan, ends in Yan. Yan is the family of, and so the word Christian is to be the family of Christ. When you said, I am a Christian, you are saying, I am from the family of Christ. I asked somebody here, right here in town, I said, do you know what Christian means? Yeah, to be a Westerner, they said. See, Satan has specialized in ignorance. That is Satan. I don't mean you had to go to college to learn this, you had to read the Bible to learn this. Without Christ, there will be no Christians. We will all be sinners. Rather than say, I'm a Christian, you have to say, I'm a sinner. Without Christ, yeah, that's the word you have to say. I think that Paul does a great work to tell about the story of Christmas, to point to a name so that you know him well. Turn your Bible to Ephesians 2, page 1273. Ephesians 2. Page 1273 in the Bible that is in the pew. And I want to read for you verses 2 to 4 and then verse 12. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and he describes what we will be without Christ. He makes a description of people without Christ. Wherein, he says, in time past, we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And now look at what he said now. Very, very strong. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in time past. So he's talking to believers. In time past. In the lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And whereby nature, that means when you were born, the children of wrath. Even as others. So, if you are born and if you have no Christ, you are a child of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now look at verse 12. That at that time, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what happened when you have no Christ. You have no hope and no God in the world. That's it. If you have no Christ, you are out. But because God did come and was born as a man on this earth. Look at what we read in verse 13, 14, and 19. Look in the same chapter. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not by being born in the Western Hemisphere. For he is, Christ is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And now look in verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Without Christ, we have no relationship with God, but with Christ, we are part of the household of God. What a difference Jesus made. You see that? What a difference Jesus made. So the story of Christmas points to a name, start with the incarnation, and through the development of that man, points to a name. Christ, Christ, Christ. No compromise. You cannot add, you cannot take. Christ, Christ, Christ. He died, he resurrected. How this happened? He died, he resurrected, and he's coming back, and he's going to take you to heaven. You can't move it, you can't move it. This is it, it's fixed. We cannot change it, we cannot put lights on it to make it sweet. It's a true story. You have no Christ, you're going to hell and burn forever. It's a true story. Now the story of Christmas reveals a mystery. Not only point to the incarnation, not only points to a name, but also points to a mystery. First, the mystery of salvation. Let's go to John's Gospel. You know this by heart. Come on, you know it. John's Gospel, chapter 3, page 1151. The mystery of salvation. I want to read a few verses from verse 16, that you know it from child, to verse 19. The mystery of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So there is no Muhammad in Jesus. There is no Buddha in Jesus. There is only one begotten son. Is that clear? The information is beautiful. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, said the scripture. The light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See, the world, the United States Senate, and the world wants to remove Christ out of Christmas. He said it is an offense to have a Christmas sun in a shopping center. What sun are you going to have then? What sun are you going to have? The holiday is about Christ. If you take the sun about Christ, what sun are you going to have? See, they want to remove Christ. And people say, why they do that? Because they are living in darkness. Their heart is dark. And they cannot see Jesus. And they feel condemned every time they see something about Jesus. That's what it is. They see something about Jesus. And they feel there is something wrong with him. And so they want to remove Jesus so that they can feel good about it. I told you a few days ago I had to be in court. And I was jury number one, control of the jury. And I told them, what is the rules? I asked the prosecutor. And the prosecutor said, if a child accuses a person, his word is good enough. So I stood up and said, that's wrong. Who? The judge said, I'm telling for wrong or not wrong. I'm telling too, because I have the Bible with me. He said, what the Bible said? The Bible said that God spoke and the whole universe say wrong. But I have an article in Science said the voice carry cosmic electronic power. And you want to see the proof? He said, no, we know about these. We're about this other case. I said, well, you are changing the rules. What rules? The rules of the Bible. He said, well, this is a court. The court is nothing compared to God. No wonder they sent me out. But I tell you, that's what the world is doing. In the high court said, in the lowest court. In the schools, they are not teaching about Jesus. No, that's religion. Not said, that's not religion. That's light or darkness. That's life or death. So the mystery of salvation, God has come and said, if you believe in the Son. No, if you say, well, my mother, I remember in South America, Catholicism controlled the country with strong hand. Unless they used it. One time I was in an embassy and one guy get ahead of me to see the ambassador. And I said to the lady, he get ahead of me. Why? Well, he said, he has a letter from the Pope. Who cares? I have a letter from my mother. So I called the guy, grab it from the back. You know, they're short. So I got it from the back. I said, no, I'm first. He said, well, I have this letter. And what the letter said, I'm a Christian. The Pope signed it. How much you pay for that? Oh, I said, we pay a lot. I don't pay anything and I'm a Christian. He said, where's your letter? It's written in heaven. Always carry my New Testament. I was a revolutionary when I was young. I think I still. But, you know, listen, it's true. Are we Christian? It's because of Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing. So the mystery of salvation, unless you have Christ, is a mystery. You're not a Christian. Secondly, the mystery of praise. Go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Page 1107, Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 to 14, page 1107. The mystery of praise, the story of Christmas reveal a mystery. The mystery of salvation is only Christ that can save you, and you have to believe in him. You cannot be associated with Christians. Some people say, I go to the church. What does that mean? Have you believed in him? Well, I have my mother who is a Christian. How you believe in him? If you cannot believe in him, you're still not a Christian. Some people said, I know a lot of theology, and they know, and they tell me all kinds of things in theology. But I said to this person, how you believe in him? Oh, I'm waiting. Well, you're waiting to die and then burn in hell? Oh, come on, don't be rude. I'm rude because God is rude. Now, this is a good one. This is going to help the choir tonight. The mystery of praise. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined around about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. See, Christmas is not a Westerner story. To all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Mahomet. No, is Christ. Kurios. Christ the Lord. And these shall be for a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. Heavenly hosts are angels. Praising God. Listen to this. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. Somebody asked me not too long ago, is it okay for the church to have a cantata? So that's why I select this scripture. I want to show it there. Why do you think the devil inspires people not to think about Jesus Christ? Why doesn't he want us to sing about Jesus, talk about him, and worship the Lord Jesus and so on? Why? Well, I go through the scripture. I don't care if I'm over time. Put one hand here and go to the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 7, one book before the book of Psalm, page 632. The book of Job. And I want you to show you in chapter 38 of the book of Job, and in verse 7, that teaches that the angels with Satan, they sung a creation. Job 38, verse 7. When the morning stars, that's Satan, sung together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's the creation. When God created the earth, the entire choir of heaven, directed by Mr. Satan, he was the morning star. He directed the choir in joy. There was praise. Always you see in the Bible, praise together with the preaching of God's word. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13, page 1107 now, Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. Look at what happened when Jesus was born. Then the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, that the angel sung at the birth of Christ. The Bible says in Luke 2, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Now there is no more angelic songs in the entire New Testament till Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 and verse 12. The Bible says in Revelation 5:11, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them that was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. No time during the Lord's ministry on earth does it record the angel as singing in glory. They are glad when somebody becomes a believer, but they are no singing in glory. They are making noise in heaven, but no singing in glory. God leaves the singing to you and me. In the New Testament era, the praise to God is to you and to me. Actually, from Abraham all the way to his coming, we are commanded to praise him. And I go over the scripture with you. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, page 691. Psalm 100, page 691. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, plural. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence crying. No, we're singing. Move your Bible to the New Testament. I have about 20 more scriptures, but I have 3 minutes. Move your Bible to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, 6. Page 1276, Ephesians 5:19. Makes a summary of what we're supposed to do. Ephesians 5, verse 19, page 126. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Since the fall of Lucifer, every place in the Bible it records worship, it has to do with our redemption. It has to do with our saving of our own soul. It has to do with something that God has done for us. And the devil viciously opposes you and I and our worship and the very mention of Jesus Christ because you are taking his place when you do so. Remember what we read in Job chapter 38, verse 7? At the creation, he was a choir director. But if you read in the scripture, Satan falls from heaven when he sinned. And now he cannot direct the choir anymore. You direct it. You are the one who praise God. We have become the worship leaders. We have become the ones who lift up the Lord. The entire story of Christmas is the story of redemption. So, no Christ, no redemption, but condemnation and hell forever. No Christ, you have no right to celebrate Christmas. You have Christ, you have all the rights and all the joy to say to God, thank you, thank you. May God wake you up and penetrate your mind and your heart and lead you into the belief of the scripture. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we who are Christians celebrate Christ. This Christmas is not just a holiday. It is the holiday of our life. The day that we have come to believe in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Bless us with joy. Let's sing until we have no more voice of praise to you. And let those who believe not think about it and come to believe. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Star to echo endless to everyone a light outshining every sun, a light the world has not comprehended, a light that is this holy babe.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.